Welcome to Aggressively and Funny.
Hello!
Oh my god. Wow, we're coming out hot.
Yeah, you better believe it.
Okay, too hot.
Fired out of a cannon.
Yeah, step back a little bit.
Get out of my face.
I gotta edit this later.
All right, welcome. Hello, my name is Kerry Bilkowski.
I'm Harris Gale.
And this is the podcast, Aggressively Unfunny.
Yes, the aforementioned Aggressively Unfunny. How are you doing, Kerry?
Oh, I'm doing great.
That's good.
I feel excellent today. Yeah. How about yourself?
Good. A little stressed. You know, we're getting close to the best slash worst part of retail year where you just feel stressed all the time, every day. And then compound that with, like, schoolwork, too. It's like a whole bunch of stress stacked on top of stress, so that's fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. How about you?
I mean, as I said before, when you asked me this exact question, I said,
all right.
I'm doing great today.
All right.
I mean, absolutely. Going into the holiday season, retail's definitely a little bit of a scary place to work.
Yeah.
But it's also great being in commissioned retail.
Yeah.
You know, when someone decides they want to buy every one of their children a television for Christmas, it works out pretty nicely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those TVs, though, are like, we're talking, you know, door crashers.
Oh, yeah. This is like the Sorny, $200 55-inch TV.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It's made out of styrofoam mostly.
You do have to sell five of them to make like 10 bucks.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Yeah. That's not an exaggeration.
Yeah.
That's okay. So, should we do a little bit more getting to know us today?
Yeah, let's do it. I feel if our listeners don't know us well enough yet, they hopefully by the end of today's, they'll know us a little bit more.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
Do we want to do a theme song into this one?
Yeah. Start us off. Well, my name is Harris, and I'm here to say it's time for you to get to know me today.
Get to know us.
God. Never make me do that again.
This is a great start. Okay, Harris.
Our guest is giving us a resounding thumbs up.
What? What is your favorite movie of all time?
Okay, so if you'd asked me this in like 1999, I would have very confidently said The Matrix, because I think, and it still holds up today. I don't know if it's my favorite movie now, because there's just so much. I really like The Avengers. I know that I'm a total Marvel nerd, superhero movie nerd, but The Avengers is, to me, I can watch that movie over and over and over and just never get sick of it.
Who's your favorite Avenger?
Captain America, I think.
America.
Yeah.
You know, vanilla ice cream, saltine crackers, and Captain America.
You know, he's flawed. He's not like just the perfect hero. He's flawed. He's got an interesting arc.
Is that his thing? I thought his whole shtick was that he wasn't flawed and that he's like this Captain America,
But he's not this perfect guy, and he does have these kind of like, not like deep character, not as much as Tony Stark, but he's got these interesting conflicts that his conflicts are more interesting, I think, than Iron Man's or Hulk's. Thor's are kind of interesting. We were talking about this last week, but Captain America's, his conflicts are the most interesting of the series, I think.
I disagree.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you're wrong.
Period. All right. Full stop. Okay, so, all right, whatever. No. What's your favorite movie? Jesus Christ.
So if you had asked me in, let's say 2003,
okay,
I probably would have said Fight Club.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You know, when I was coming hot off of having read the Chuck Palahniuk book. Chuck Palahniuk book.
Yeah.
Which was very good.
It's one of the best film adaptations of a book.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah. You know what? Like, really well cast.
Yep.
Ed Norton. I think that was the movie that really... American History X came before that, and he was incredible in that.
I saw it after that, actually. But yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, you're.
Oh my
your
God! I'm not trying to
chronology
work out. Oh my
here.
God,
is.
I'm just saying.
Okay, it's cool. It's cool, man. Harris, deep breath. Let me tell you what my favorite movie is: National Lampoon's Electric Apricot.
Oh yeah, that was I watched that once. I enjoyed it.
So for those of you not familiar, it's a little obscure, but it really like hits all my buttons. What this is it's a, let's call it a mockumentary of a jam band type band who's sort of trying to make it. It's subtitled The Quest for Festeroo,
mm-hmm.
and it's basically sort of going after this early Bonnaroo scene where all these bands, Widespread Panic and Government Mule and Fish and the Allman Brothers and all this sort of stuff come out of. And it's a mockumentary about that. It's made by and starring Les Claypool of Primus fame.
Right. I knew that. I forgot it was a National Lampoon movie.
Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. I highly recommend it. I mean, it's available on all it's your so standard movie
outlets. It just hits the perfect notes of, like, jam bands. Like, there's a moment where the guitarist just disappears for a while.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
then just shows up on stage, like, completely plastered. So it's good. It's
great. He was, like, playing colors, man.
Yeah,
so like I said, that really sort of hits the buttons with me. I would say so. Right. Yeah, I'm kind of an idiot, and I love that sort of jam band music, and it really hits home for me.
Well, I have a classmate who just, by some miracle, I don't know if he just was in a coma for like 20 years, but he's missed all these really good movies. He didn't see Shawshank. He didn't see any Tarantino movies.
I would put Shawshank in my top five.
That's
and
like,
there's a two Tarantino movies sitting up there as well.
We were saying, like, he hasn't seen Inglourious Basterds. He hasn't seen Kill Bill. He hasn't seen Django. And
you want to just list off the rest of Tarantino's filmography?
I was, like, making a list, and I was going through my directors. Like, Tarantino, Scorsese.
Spielberg.
And so now he's, like, me and another film nerd are just making lists and just, like, giving him new movies every other week. And, I mean, we're, like, in the thick of school season now. We do not have time
and you're to grabbing watch 2.5 hours. This poor hour. Kid by the collar and being like, listen, you go and you watch Django, the director's cut, tonight.
Yeah. You need to watch the 3-hour version of this movie because that's the only way to see it. Really.
Listen.
Like Gangs of New York or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Gangs of New York is up there. Yeah. And along those same lines, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Any movie.
There Will Be Blood might be one of the greatest movies of all time.
That and No Country came out like within a couple weeks of each other. And I remember seeing them in theaters and just being like, back to back, just like, oh my God, these are some of the best movies that have ever been made. Yeah. That might be hyperbolic. I'm not sure.
I don't think it is. Okay. I mean, really, like, just I'll use There Will Be Blood as an example because that's the one that's in my head right now. Yeah. But the first 10 minutes of the movie, there's not a word said, but it conveys so much. You learn what's going on, what time period it's happening in, what economic level all these people are on, it just paints this picture.
It's the epitome of like showing, don't telling, you know, like that's exactly, they don't have any dialogue. And also like really P.T. Anderson, the only one I didn't like of his was, or Paul Thomas Anderson. P.T. Anderson's the guy who did Predators, I think. Not to be confused with that guy.
Not to be confused with P.T. Barnum.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I did a project on him too this year. I know who that is. Paul Thomas Anderson. The only one I didn't like was The Master. I couldn't really get through it. But like even Synecdoche, I think he did that one. Charlie Kaufman, Synecdoche, New York. But Schenectady, I think it was called, what it was called. Anyway, all Paul right. Thomas Anderson.
Polania, got you.
Magnolia,
incredible.
Boogie Nights.
It's like, so
just this amazing wealth of great movies that this classmate of mine has not seen.
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson, that's a good alley to go down if you haven't been that way.
Yeah.
As long as you can tolerate a long movie.
Yeah, really long shots, not a lot of cut. Punch Drunk Love, that's another one. Really like long panning shots, not a lot of action. But when there is action, it's just like, bam.
He gets punched drunk in a hurry.
Yeah.
Movies are great. I'm glad
we can all agree.
I got to know you a little better.
In fact, great. Yeah.
Although, if all we gain from this is Harris likes the Avengers, then I don't
That's
know.
That's not much really of a take. Yeah, we're not. Exactly. If anything, we're a step behind. I think there's so many more movies that I could have said. Oh well, I stand by that.
So I bought some Bitcoin.
Hmm.
I've invested in cryptocurrency.
Oh, my God. Is it because of our mutual friend?
I will say that was a sort of spurring point because he directed me on how to do it properly.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not taking his financial advice. I should mention for those of you at home, Harris and I have a mutual friend, coworker, who let's just say his main source of news involves a man named Alex Jones.
Sure. Or Breitbart,
and,
maybe.
And maybe the Breitbart area.
Yeah, he's got a tinfoil hat on his tinfoil hat.
Yeah, exactly. You got it. It's also shaped like a swastika. Never mind.
Oh, whoa.
Hey, anyhow, moving forward.
God, I'm glad
Bitcoin, yeah. So I just put $100 in to start. I figure I might as well like lose small before I lose big and sort of bet the farm.
Sure. He was explaining to me how it works, and you could probably explain.
Okay, so checksums and hashes, and you're already exhausted.
Yeah.
Long story short, how it works is it's a decentralized currency that no major government controls. So I'm going to get a tinfoil hat now because they're out to get me because I'm not adhering to the government's.
And the way he explained it, to me is that there's a finite amount of them and you have to mine them. And once it's gone, it's gone, which is interesting to me because that's like, I don't know how you can have, especially if currency, I mean, I guess you exchange it. Do you exchange it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So essentially, I mean, yeah, you mine it. There's these people with these computer mining rigs that are sort of doing math equations, which are creating this currency. At a certain point, I think it's 21 million bitcoins is the sort of cap. And once it hits that point, it is a truly like deflationary currency. Like it's doesn't have anywhere to go from there. Like, our government can just print more money if we need more money.
I mean, I can. I've been handing out Monopoly money for weeks now.
Have I mentioned we work in an electronics store? We have access to some very high-quality printers. But long story short, it's kind of like money, but for crazy conspiracy theorists.
Kind of, yeah.
But, you hear all these stories of the guy who, bought $10 of Bitcoin back in the day, and all of a sudden he's a Bitcoin billionaire.
Yeah, like our mutual friend, he bought in like a couple of years ago, or like maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and then suddenly overnight it was like spike, and now he's a thousandaire. That's not much.
Oh, to be rich,
to have that comma. I want to be a member of that comma
club
again.
The single comma club.
Yeah, it's something to aspire to.
Man, we all have dreams. I thought that would be fun to do a little experiment here. So where am I at?
Yeah.
I hit send on my investment today. So currently my $100 is $95 because there's a 5% transaction fee.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Seems but I'll keep you updated. Maybe we'll make it a regular segment of how's Carrie's Bitcoin doing.
Just thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah, exactly. What else do I got here? You ever play sports as a kid?
I played soccer begrudgingly. My parents put me into it, and I just didn't really get into it. I had all the equipment and stuff, but I just never really played. It's a major component of playing the sports, having all the right equipment.
Oh, especially soccer. Much gear.
The cleats and the shin pads. And I was that kid who was like...
Were you the kid wearing, like, the goggles and the shin pads?
No.
Do you have a girdle, like a soccer girdle that you wore?
Yeah, or a cup, but that was outside of soccer.
Listen, you got to protect your important...
I was the kid who was like sitting on the field, like playing with grass. Like I was not into the game at all. And then in high school, I played baseball. Wasn't very good at football. Even worse at it. So I've played lots of sports, and I'm bad at all of them.
But you're a dodgeball guy, aren't you?
Yeah. Okay. Yes. But that was a long time ago.
It's one of the big four. Dodgeball. It's. Yeah.
Baseball,
football, soccer, and dodgeball. God.
Like, I want to see dodgeball in the Olympics. I think I've already said that on the show before, but I want Olympic level dodgeball. That would be so good.
How would you like to see the Usain Bolt of throwing a dodgeball as hard as possible? Like 11-foot arms,
oh
so
my
he
God.
Gets that
just,
real motion.
And just like the guys, like the judges on the side, like you got the stretcher pulling someone off from like a dodgeball related injury, just face just completely red. Like, dodgeball. I don't really consider. Like, I know it's athletic, but it's not like a sport. It's like a low organized.
Okay. Just before we go over to the important thing, which is my sports history.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a vuvuzela?
Yeah.
Remember vuvuzelas?
Yes, I remember vuvuzelas for that 1 year.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was the World Cup, right?
Yeah, that was World Cup 19. There were quite a few people with these wonderful plastic trumpety, bugly horns.
Yeah. And they got banned. because they were just so...
I guess that's the answer to my next question. What happened to the Methuselah?
I think we know. Everyone had them, and everyone was using them at such high frequency that it just got so annoying and overwhelming. I think at like certain arenas soccer complexes, people were using them so much they were just like drowning out anything else that was happening. People couldn't have conversations, and yeah.
Yeah, that was actually a great World Cup where every single game you'd turn on the TV and it was just like, hey. Yeah, so, I mean, what happened to all those Vuvuzelas?
I have a friend in Victoria who is from South Africa, and he had one in his apartment. We would play around with it. It was just, you know, whenever there was, like, even, like, non-like hockey, we would have it and just blow whenever there was a goal.
Yeah, like, in front of the TV?
Yeah.
Watching hockey?
Yeah. In an enclosed apartment by ourselves.
Yeah, Canucks score, man!
Yep,
okay.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's obnoxious.
So I've been noticing this week and last week that actually since I started going to school for the past couple weeks, I don't know if this is just me projecting my own weird insecurities. People don't sit next to me on the bus, and I don't know why. If it's a bus full of people, and there's like, I generally have a pretty heavy backpack and I have a camera or whatever, so I usually put it on the seat, but eventually once it starts to fill up, I'll grab it and I'll put it on my lap. People walk, like, is it me? Is there something okay, I see you ramping up to something, but I generally shower every day. I'm pretty clean. I don't look like a crazy person mostly.
Yeah, no, I will say, like, outwardly, you don't put off any vibe that says, like, this guy's going to be trouble if I sit next to him.
But inwardly.
Hey, listen. Ask you your opinion on the Marvel Cinematic Universe, man, you're in for a rough bus ride. Yeah,
ding! Get me off this fucking bus. Anyway.
I don't know why people won't sit next to you.
I don't know.
I mean, people won't sit next to me, but I take up 2/3 of a bus seat,
right.
So, you know, I'm not necessarily the most comfortable dude to sit next to.
Sure, yeah, like, I have a big jacket, a big winter, but in winter everyone does. So I kind of like tuck it in.
Remember those puffy jackets?
Yeah.
Is that what you
have? No.
Like a big silver puffy jacket?
It's like Gore-Tex.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I actively, like, people will be walking up and maybe it's because I'm like maintaining eye contact.
Are you eagerly watching, like, yeah, smiling?
Yeah.
Do you do a come hither with your finger?
I do motion at them. I rub the seat a little bit. And they avert their eyes and go right past me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know why. Yeah. But it's something I've noticed, and I don't know what the deal is. I don't know.
You know what? I'll keep monitoring you, and I'll look for subtle signs.
If you see any red flags, yeah.
Stop waving that knife in the air wildly. Okay. No one likes that.
Duly noted. All right.
Yeah. Here's something.
Sure.
The skeleton, human skeleton, is the scariest organ.
Wait, what are you talking about?
So, like, out of your organs, your brain, your skin, your heart, the skeleton is the scariest of these.
Is this according to you?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think according to a worldwide consensus...
Just your opinion. Ooh, it's so scary.
Well, okay.
It's all, you see it everywhere around the end of October, and it's just, ooh.
Cut to you're walking into a white room, table in the middle. Looks like an Apple store, but miniature. Let's say 10 feet by 10 feet. The door opens leftward. So when you open the door, it swings out. And when you walk into the room, you close the door. White room.
It's the wrong details.
On the table. Okay, so the lighting is fluorescent, but it's not buzzing. It's pretty modern, you know, good quality fluorescent. You're looking at like a 5-bulb fixture. It is dead center, so it does illuminate the table well. The shadow that's cast from the table is downward. It's a square table, 2x2. You're looking at me like you want me to get to the point. Okay, so you walk into this room. On the table is, let's go with a human spleen. You just sort of shuddered. You looked like you maybe...
That doesn't sound good.
It doesn't sound good, but it's not terrifying.
I would say if I saw a brain or a heart, a brain, that would creep me out.
More than a skeleton? What if the skeleton's holding a sword? And compare that to an organ holding a sword, brain holding a sword. Lungs holding a sword.
All right. Yeah. Yes. Okay. In the world that you've set here, in this situation, yes, I think only because a skeleton has like arms and legs and can swing a sword, whereas a heart or a spleen, I'm not a doctor. I don't think that they have appendages to.
How about a set of human skin? I don't. Ugh. Do you call it a set when it's just all of human skin?
Oh God, I don't know. Yeah,
but holding a sword.
Yeah, that'd be bad. Oh, that'd be real bad. Because then you'd like see through the eye holes.
Scarier than a skeleton, though.
Yeah, I would be.
Oh no! This was not what I was trying to prove here.
Skeleton? Are we okay? I think we gotta go to break. Unfortunately, we have to put a break on this conversation for a bit. We gotta go to break.
We'll more skeletons back after this.
No. Yep. Okay. Maybe. Welcome back to Aggressively Unfunny. We're joined now by our good friend, one of the funniest guys I know, Noah Jacobson. How are you doing, Noah?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, good. The mic works. Good.
All right.
Did that work?
You're good. Okay. It's just we've had some technical difficulties before. Anyway, so Noah, what do you think? Is a skeleton an organ?
Hey, no. Like, absolutely not. A skeleton is not an organ.
Maybe I framed this the wrong way.
Also, what's with like the overly descriptive like fluorescent lights and like?
I was just trying to set the scene.
I saw the clock counting. We got 20 minutes in the first segment. You spent like a conservatively minute and a half just setting.
I haven't even gone into the table. You don't know what it's made out of. You don't know its dimensions.
This isn't a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. Like. We don't have the time to do this.
Like, but the swing direction of the door was that like?
It's. It's only important if you really want to know what this scene is. If you want a half-baked, half-assed description of what's going on, you go to the guy next to me here. I'm looking at Harris and pointing at Harris. He's going to give you a poor description of the room. But I will give you detailed, thorough description to the level that it is painful.
Okay.
Wow. I'm moving on. Carrie, you're one hell of a salesman.
Okay, let me tell you about the flooring in this room.
I've seen him on the sales floor.
We're talking linoleum. We're talking like off-white eggshell.
We can't spend any more time on this. We got other things to do. We got too much show.
All right. Make with the funny.
I'm going to gesture at our guest because we welcomed him. We jabbered on for 20 minutes about skeleton. Anyway. Noah, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks,
okay,
man.
Good. So, like, right off the top, let's talk about what you brought in, because I feel like that could take up a good amount of real estate in this show.
All right, well, what I've got for you guys here is all-time favorite Simpsons episodes.
Are we doing all-time or, like, top three, top five? Because I had, like, top three.
Well, I'm all-time top five.
Sure, okay.
Well, or three.
Okay, I got three, but you start.
Okay, you want me to start? Yeah. How do you want to do this? Should I present all... five or
why don't we take turns? You sure. Name a Simpsons episode you love. We'll talk about it a little bit and then go around the horn.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah. I'm gonna kick off with the classic 22 short films about Springfield.
Ooh, classic.
It's a good one.
So you got your Skinner and Chalmers.
Steam Tabs. Scenario.
Steam Tabs. Aurora Borealis. Yeah,
definitely one of the most quoted Simpsons episodes.
Yeah.
You got Mo.
Barney's bar tab being like $14 billion.
like NASA calculated
you've got the Pulp Fiction homage.
The Pulp Fiction homage with Chief Wiggum and Snake. Wiggum. And and what's the name of the pawn shop owner? Is it, I want to say Hector or something?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember. The guy who's
one-armed man?
The one-armed.
Could not tell you. His name escapes me. I'd like to say I know The Simpsons, but.
Skeezy guy. Real skeezy.
What else?
Bumblebee man gets a little bit of a...
Oh, I forgot about it.
Yeah, it's a Spanish language component of that episode.
Was that where they, like, it shows him leaving his show and, like, going home, and then his life at home exactly mirrors
like the
life of the...
Yeah.
Ay, Dios mío.
Yeah, so, and then, of course, there's Lisa getting the gum in her hair and
So this is not a cultural touchstone that I really have, but this whole episode is like a takeoff on, is it 22 short films about Glenn Gould? Is that correct?
I think you might be right about
that. Okay, so I only bring that up in hopes that one of you guys knows anything about that and might have something to add.
I mean, I only know that it's like little, small, short vignettes of stories that are kind of not related, but interrelated in some way, but they're also, that's all I know.
I think it was just the title that was sort of a...
Really?
Oh, okay. On that.
I don't know.
Well, again, you know, this is three guys talking about something they don't know what they're talking about.
Okay. As a sidebar from this, I want a channel strictly devoted to 24/7 on-demand Simpsons. Like... every single episode, just streaming, but you can tune in and just turn on any episode, but you can also choose Which episode?
If I would add a caveat that it be restricted to seasons 1 through 10.
I you know what? I'd drop Otherwise, season 1.
I would I'd drop season
1. I would think season
drop season 10 too.
Yeah, see I had it here. Season 3 through 9.
Oh, yeah.
I think that may be the best some of the best seasons of television in history.
I'd keep season 2 in there too.
Yeah, season 2.
I will say there's a couple episodes in the early 10s and early teens of The Simpsons that are notable and great. However, they didn't make my top list at all.
No.
I'm looking at season 5, 6, and 8 with my episodes. What season was 22 short films about Springfield from? As Noah
Let
references.
Let me consult the...
what do you got there? Is that a Field Notes? Is that a Moleskine? Is that a Hillroy?
Just
what
drawings kind of Simpsons book characters.
This is an overpriced German sketchbook.
Ooh, la la. Noah's an architect, by the way, so he only uses the finest in sketchbooks.
Yeah. Only the most overpriced German everything, really.
How's that Audi treating you?
I walk everywhere. Take the bus.
Good shoes, at least.
Season 7.
Season seven. So right in that sweet spot. Three to nine seems to be where all the good stuff is.
What's your episode, Kerry?
Let's talk about You Only Move Twice. This is from season 8.
I had that one too.
This
I
is,
had that one as well.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not? This is Homer relocating to work for a company under Hank Scorpio, who is obviously a Bond villain. Played by Albert Brooks.
This one was of the my introduction Simpsons. To Albert Brooks.
Oh, and you couldn't ask for a better one, honestly. Worth going into. I don't know. I mean, this is sort of a little bit older than, you know, my day or your day or probably a lot of our listeners' days. But going back and checking out some of Albert Brooks's movies, Defending Your Life, so good, so funny. Really is just the epitome of a funny, funny man.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, a notable line at the end of that episode. Well, there's a couple good ones at the end of the episode, you know, when he's gifted the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos. That's quite good.
Marge thinks that it's pretty good. You just don't understand football.
But even before that, when Homer's telling Mr. Scorpio that he has to quit, and he's like, Homer, I'm disappointed. If you could do me a favor and kill a couple guys on your way out, that would really help me out. He has a flamethrower, and he takes down, like, scores of secret agents.
These early seasons of Simpsons, they had such great, like, really funny visual jokes, but really good, like, highbrow, like, tons of weird nerdy things that you wouldn't get until you had to like kind of read into it, but so many jokes that when you don't even get it until you revisit it and you're like an adult. Like I was a kid and I watched them and I appreciate the visual humor, then come back to it as a teenager, I'm like, oh my god, that is so good and subtle, but just a great commentary.
Hammock district comes from this episode.
Yes. Speaking of great commentaries,
you know, the really poignant stuff here. You know, Homer, when you go home today, there's going to be an extra floor on your house.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that just really tickles me. So yeah, definitely one of my favorite episodes. How about yourself, Harris?
One of my all-time favorites, Treehouse of Horror 5. That's the one has, like, The Shining.
Oh, nice.
The Shining.
And the time travel with the toaster.
Oh,
like, okay.
That is absolutely a classic.
It is.
Was that time travel or dimension travel, like... Was that where the donuts are falling from the sky? Or no? That was time travel where they changed the future by altering the past.
So well, yeah. I mean, Grandpa tells Homer, if you go to the past, don't step on anything.
Right.
And so, then he proceeds to kill every dinosaur.
can we also... just mention all of this time travel comes from Homer trying to repair his toaster. And he like jams a fork in it and twists a screw. And then all of a sudden he's traveling through time with this like Proctor Silex brand toaster.
The episode opens with Homer, they're just sitting at a table and Bart's like, Dad, you're stuck in the toaster. And then, so you got the Shining, the Time and Punishment, and then the last one's the Nightmare Cafeteria where they're cooking up kids. And it's just all classic. So good, and there's that recurring element of Willy getting the axe in the back. And it's just like, that is just so good. I like the Treehouse of Horror ones I really like because they're just kind of suspend whatever.
Is this Skinner when he's, some might say, you're eating Uter now.
Yeah. Wait, scratch that last one. that's one of my favorites for sure.
How about Noah? You got another one for us there, bud?
In the tank? Oh, yeah. Homer at the Bat.
Oh, this is on my list, actually.
So the Mr. Burns what is it?
Well, Mr. Burns had done it.
Oh, the song, yeah.
Plant had won it. Yeah, so good.
The song they play at the end, all the baseball players and...
this drama.
All the different trouble they've gotten themselves
Ken
into.
Griffey Jr. Gigantism.
If you don't shave those sideburns, I swear to God.
Yeah, that was Don Mattingly.
And by the end of the episode, he's got his sideburns shaved all the way up to like the top of his head.
Still, I told you to shave those sideburns. You're off the team.
Walking away, he's like, still better than the sideburn.
Still like a better than sideburn.
That's the thing. Like, that's a joke that, you know, 10-year-old Harris would be like, it's a funny visual because he's got his sideburns completely off. And then, you know, I learn more about baseball. I'm like, oh, my God, that's funnier than – I mean, the visual is funny, but that line is, I think, funnier.
And apparently the – so Steve Sachs, who was – got harassed
by
the
law. If I
Steve Sachs is running with the law.
Yeah.
Apparently that was based on, like, an actual thing that happened to him or something.
Really?
Oh,
in New York.
Kidding.
Huh.
Yeah. And so that, like, it was like an inside joke, kind of.
It's also, I think for the listener, it's worth noting that you are one of the most knowledgeable Simpsons fans that I know. Like, you've, since, we go back a long time, we go back since you were, like, kids.
Yeah, we've known each other
a while. And you always just have, like, the, every Simpsons quote is in your brain somewhere. Every, like, there's so many Simpsons factoids that just live in there that I don't know where you pull it from.
If I can sort of stack on top of that, Noah's a little bit of an encyclopedia of information in general.
Sure.
Song lyrics. I'm always just amazed as someone who is like a singer-songwriter and learns a bunch of songs and lyrics and stuff. Noah always knows every single word to the most obscure songs.
Gosh, guys.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I don't want to derail too much from The Simpsons. I just wanted to sort of throw that in and fluff you up.
Well, I just remember lyrics and quotes. I don't really know the, like, the trivia or, like...
Yeah, but you have so many
But
quotes.
Me and my brother always used to just quote Simpsons at the dinner table, like, ad nauseum. So,
yeah, we did.
How do your parents like that?
Oh, they hated it. Well, they were... I mean, they were talking about the news or, like... issues of the day, and me and my brother were literally just speaking in, like, Simpsons and Seinfeld quotes to each other.
Chlorophyll, more like chlorophyll.
Oh my God.
That's
Billy Madison. It's a similar kind of idea.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to start singing Big Rock Candy Mountain for a second, where you're like, I was like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah, that's not
happening. Yeah, thank God. What's another one here? The monorail episode. Like, there was when Conan wrote for the show, those were like a really good string of seasons there. I think maybe only one or two seasons. But.
Talking about a great song again, the monorail song.
So good.
The whole thing. A reference I didn't get in that song, though, is Take My Penknife, My Good Man. At the time, you know, when I was a 9 or 10 year old child, I didn't know what a penknife was. So what I was picturing was like a Bic pen.
Yeah.
But when you pull the cap off, instead of the standard ballpoint, you know, pen that you're looking at, you have like a scalpel style knife. And even then, I was thinking, how's he going to get his pudding open with this scalpel knife? It's not going
to
happen.
And why does he just carry it on him all the time, just to have a knife?
It looks like a pen. You can get through TSA with it, you know, in case you need to get it onto a plane.
I still don't really know what a pen knife is.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this, we got more questions than answers here on the podcast.
Kerry, on the other hand, has really looked into pen knives and now travels with them regularly.
Let's just say this Staples Basics brand pen I'm holding here has a secret.
Another one that has a song, Stonecutters.
Yeah, that was on my list.
On my list as well. Yeah. Homeward the Great, the Stonecutters episode.
Oh my God. Man. Seasons 3 through 9, they've just got the gems.
Yeah, a great song. We do. I especially love, you know, when Homer first becomes a stonecutter and he's sort of discovering all the benefits. So he's got the plumber in his basement. The water's like up the stairs. He says, yeah, I didn't order that part, so it's still going to be a couple more weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
What if I shook your hand like this? And they do a woo-woo wacky little handshake.
And he just takes out a wrench and instantly fixes it.
Yeah. And there he goes, fishes the cat out of the water, hands it to him. And then as Homer's driving to work later that day, everyone's sort of stuck, jammed up in traffic. He hits his little garage door opener on the roof of his car. it opens up a boulder on the side of the freeway, and he drives into this hallway. He's playing classical music, and there's beautiful art on the walls as he cruises down, and then arrives at his same parking spot, which is next to his house, 20 miles from his workplace.
Across the, it's on the other side of the fence.
And I don't want to just describe the whole episode here.
Yeah, you might as well.
But then he puts on the rollerblades. Oh, he's like, well, I have the same parking spot, but they gave me these so I can float there, and proceeds to like fall and skate and slip up. Towards work.
The City of New York versus Homer Simpson. That's another one of my favorites because it's just so like, I love the just the escalation of how mad Homer gets throughout the episode. Also worth noting, it was taken out of syndication after September 11th.
Oh, they did feature the Twin Towers pretty heavily
there.
They did.
They really did. Yeah.
And I mean, it may be culturally insensitive because of the Klokolosh bit. You know,
or the good people at Mountain Dew, maybe.
Yeah. Mountain Dew is a sponsor, and they were not happy about
it. Big Mountain Dew is not having it.
Speaking of Mountain Dew, you guys know any great off-brand sodas? You know, you get your
RC Cola.
Well, RC Cola, I'm thinking more along the lines of like Dr. Pepper and Mountain Dew knockoffs.
Like so Dr. Pibb?
Dr. Pibb. It's actually Mr. Pibb.
Mr. Pibb. Sorry, he didn't get his doctorate yet.
He's still studying. There's Dr. Zip. There's Mr. Pepper. There's Mountain Cool.
Mountain Cool. I've heard of that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of different sodas.
I thought
this would be funny to talk about. No, but I guess not.
It's a good as a segue from that. For me, I've had my girlfriend was out of town last week. When that happens, I turn into like a gross mess.
You just drank all the soda.
I drink all the soda. I eat all the chocolate bars. I also eat fast food a little bit more. I don't eat that much anymore, but I sometimes do. So I would have McDonald's breakfast somewhat often. I think that the McDonald's breakfast hash brown might be the best breakfast fast food breakfast food available on anywhere.
I mean, you could certainly make that argument.
I will. I am.
I. You can.
I will.
You're wrong, okay. But you can. Okay. You're probably right. I think that of the major fast food chains here in Canada, the better breakfast foods are going to come from McDonald's. And the hash brown is the piece that sort of ties everything together. I might like a McGriddles better. You get a sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddles. Mm. And it's not called a McGriddle. It's called a McGriddles.
With an S?
Yeah.
Like plural?
It's one of those weird things. Like when you're talking about multiple Whopper Juniors, the actual presentation of that is Whoppers Junior.
With the hua.
And you're calling me an encyclopedia. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen,
he's got a very niche. He's got one wheelhouse.
I know what I know, guys. Let me tell you about the grease.
Have you ever had A&W's breakfast foods?
Yeah.
Their hash browns?
Yeah,
and,
it's good.
If you go into an A&W, I don't know if this is still the way, but it used to be, they would actually present you a breakfast, like on a regular human plate, like fried eggs.
Wait.
Can we back up to... roll back to human
plate? Yeah, let you just ran past that. Human plate?
I should elaborate and say that
it's a plate made of human skin.
Yes, exactly. Just the regular animalistic human plate.
Yeah.
You know, they'll fry some eggs. They'll give you hash browns, strips of bacon. It comes out looking like a normal breakfast, not like, you know, some sort of weird fast food monstrosity that's, you know, maple caramel brownies in a tortilla wrapped up with scrambled eggs and... this is a thing.
Human I know some interesting fast food restaurants.
You guys got to try the new Mick whatever. It's out of hand.
How does BK do breakfast? Do they do breakfast?
Oh, they do it real poorly.
Yeah, I imagine they would.
Their claim to fame for a fast food breakfast, they do like a croissant sandwich. But it's, you know how a croissant is like delicious and buttery and soft
like
and great?
Tim's
it's not that. Mm. Yeah, it's just picture whatever the worst version of a croissant is and then put some foam and some sausage on there and you're in business.
Yeah, I mean, BK, really, they've got one thing that I really... And I
Home of the Whopper, man!
It's so... It is... Yeah, okay. Again,
it's that mayonnaise.
Again, I may be speaking in such a, like, huge platitudes here, but I'm saying... the Whopper. Tones. The Whopper is the best sandwich. For me.
At
for
Burger King,
Burger King or yeah,
in general.
Whoa.
Maybe buddy. It's okay. Just for me, but for me.
We're going to a break, but we're going to talk about this after this.
Welcome back to Aggressively Unfunny.
All right, before the break, Harris, you had removed any credibility you have by proclaiming the Whopper to be the best fast food sandwich.
I stand by that.
Can I make a contest?
You've been holding unbroken eye contact with me since we went to break.
Just drilling a hole through you.
But yeah, okay,
let me just, make a couple statements that I'd like to clear up here.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. The A&W Teen Burger, Wendy's Spicy Chicken Sandwich, the Big Mac.
Big Mac?
The Big Mac is better than the Whopper.
Disagree.
Oh, boy. Okay.
The Big Mac?
The Big Mac.
Like, I'll give you the Teen Burger and the Spicy Chicken. Those
yeah, so you've already admitted wrong. Now let's just find out how wrong you are.
No. I will give you that those are probably the best... the best sandwiches that those places offer. I don't think they're better than the Whopper. I think that they're the best ones that those chains offer. But the Big Mac, it's not the best one that McDonald's offers.
You know, maybe it's a nostalgia thing for me. What's better than a Big Mac at McDonald's?
I'm pretty partial to the chicken burger.
The McChicken.
The McChicken.
Is not as... Thank you.
Whatever.
All right. As Jesus, I receive my check from McDonald's here.
Now get out of here.
You're referring to the McChicken.
You're referring to the all-white meat, 100% naturally farm-raised chicken breast.
All right.
McChicken. I'll defend the Big Mac here. I'm not going to say it's the greatest burger in the world, but it is certainly up there as far as fast food burgers. Here's what you're getting. You're getting... those wonderful rehydrated onions from McDonald's that you don't get those anywhere else. They're weird. When you bite into them, they kind of explode with like oniony sweetness. They're great. You're getting mac sauce. Now, let me tell you a little bit about mac sauce.
It's Thousand Island dressing.
No, you fool.
No, it Noah.
I mean, I think they've, put it in the sun for a few weeks. Isn't that what...
That's standard protocol.
Listen, they put it in the sun inside of a pentagram. They recite the ancient incantations. Yeah. They have to sacrifice a virgin over top of it. And then you get mac sauce. It's not just Thousand Island. Come on. That you're just talking about a glorified Reuben at that point then.
Do you have a favorite sandwich?
I was going to go Teen Burger. I like the Teen Burger.
Let me tell you, A&W, fine company, bigger in Canada than it is in the States.
It's so weird.
They have a lot of terrible fast food in the States, but A&W hasn't really entered into that realm quite
A&W
as much.
A&W isn't in the States?
It's there. It's just barely. Not on the level that it is here in Canada, where you'll probably see an A&W for every Burger King or McDonald's out there.
Winnipeg specifically. It was one of the first fast food chains in Winnipeg. I think it was the first. Yeah. The first one to have like a drive-in for sure. Give me those onion rings though.
Give me those onion rings. They're delicious. I will say the best fast food meal is probably a Teen Burger, onion rings, and a root beer from A&W.
As a meal, I would agree with that.
All right. As
a standalone sandwich, Whopper.
All right. You're totally wrong. And don't get me wrong. I love a Whopper. The smoky, like the flame broiled flavor of a Whopper is just...
mayonnaise.
You can tell that they're... Mayonnaise is delicious. We all love mayonnaise. but you can tell that there were scientists that were in a room and... had to come up with this perfect flame.
How can we microwave a burger such that it will taste like it's been on a barbecue?
And I applaud them. They are heroes of their craft.
You know what? We've got to take another 200 guys off cancer research. We haven't quite gotten this flame.
You made that joke last week.
Yeah. And you know what? Cancer's terrible. All right, we need to fight it.
All right. We're going to go to our segment, Yes or Nostalgia. I'm going to throw it to our engineer here. We got something queued up. You guys, tell me if this... And listeners, too, you can tell me if this brings back any nostalgic feelings for you. Once we get it queued.
Okay, everybody, if you see something that you want before you do anything,
hang on.
Remember this song.
Hopefully, Coach.
Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you put it in your mouth. Don't you stuff it in your face. Don't stuff it in your face. Though it might look good to eat. Though it might look good to eat. And it might look good to taste.
Oh, this is the extended version. Oh, dear.
That's in the second verse.
Ball. Yuck. Okay, hopefully you can pot it out. It's
like a muffin or a
bean. There it is. Yeah. So Carrie, yes or nostalgia?
All right, so let's just give a little context to this here. Is this Concerned Children's Advertisers? Is this who's behind this?
It's not a Heritage moment, is it?
This is the
maybe in another like 20 years it could be a Heritage
ship
moment.
Blowing up in Halifax. This is James Naismith inventing basketball, and then a weird puppet telling you not to eat poison. I think it's a Heritage moment. Yeah. Does that sound right? Harris is frantically Googling right now. I'm going to describe in detail what's going on.
It's a Canada PSA for sure.
Canada PSA. Yeah. So just Government of Canada?
Yeah, and just basically urging kids not to put random things in their mouths. Like if you don't know what a beet is, don't do it. I guess they were encouraging you to eat vegetables though. Yeah.
I think the muffin or the beet were recognizable things. I can't remember. I'd have to listen to the lyrics again.
I know what things are. Sometimes I still shouldn't put them in my mouth.
Yeah, but some kids are dumb. So they need to really be like, hell, you got to hold their hand and tell them don't do that.
Listen up. What's a dumb kid name?
Harris? Carrie? Oh, you beat me to it! I mean, you teed us both up for that one. It was a
grab
photo
bag.
Finish. Yeah.
Race to the line.
I mean, I think that song is noteworthy just for the level of like innuendo that it presented to. I think we were probably in like elementary school or middle school for at the time that it came out.
I'd imagine this was a 10-year-old, 11-year-old Carrie that heard
maybe
this
even
song
younger.
For the first time.
I remember that commercial came on once, and my sister was at home, and she was talking with one of her friends in the background, and that commercial came on, and they were talking over it, and I was like, I turned around and shh. I shushed them. My sister was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's a commercial that you've seen a million times. I was like, no, I'm into it.
I'm jamming out right now. Yeah. Like a muffin or a beat.
Exactly.
Okay, so yes or nostalgia. I will say from just as a public service, I think they're doing good things. If I never heard this song again and maybe had it erased from my memory, I would probably be happier. So I'm going to go nostalgia.
Huh.
Yeah.
No.
What is, give me some explanation here. Like, yes means I like it. No means
it makes you nostalgic, or no means it makes you nostalgic. We really don't have
the
barometer yet of what this rating means.
Okay, then I'm going to go yes-stalgia.
Okay, all right. Yeah. All right.
How about yourself? I'm assuming you brought it in here.
No, that doesn't mean that I,
here's something I hate. Why don't you see what's going on there?
I think that it's, you could play it today and it would still be relevant. But I think that there are probably better ways to get that message across.
I don't know, man. That song got ingrained in my head.
It really did, though.
I just stopped picking up random junk off the street and like putting it in my mouth after that song came out.
Thank God.
Yeah. Who knows? Where
I guess, mission accomplished for your Canada advertisers.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes-stalgia, not just because I brought it in, but because it does reminds me of being a kid, which is the whole goal of this. But in this one particular... I don't hate it. I guess I turn it off at a certain point. I did pretty much insist, hopefully turn it off once we got about 10 seconds
in. Yeah, so, I mean, if it's really a yes-stalgia for you, should we give it a full listen right now just to be sure?
Nostalgia.
And the people have spoken. do we want to keep talking about The Simpsons? Let me ask you guys. Here's something I've had happen to me a number of times. It's not Simpsons related, but maybe you've experienced it as well. So I was a big fan of the Tony Hawk Pro Skater video games.
Yep.
Love those games. There's a period of my life where I was working at a Salisbury house, stealing French fries, bringing them over to a friend's house. We would just fry up French fries all day and play Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 until we were just sick. Really love that game. There came a point for me where I was playing so much Tony Hawk that if I was sitting in a vehicle driving down the street, I would just be imagining myself grinding on all of the different obstacles throughout the city, and you know, it sort of takes over your life. Is that something you guys have experienced at all?
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. I'd be driving down the street, or
In the back of a car, and you're just like, then you jump from that building down onto that canopy, and then like
sweet grind into
kick
the bowl.
Flip onto. Yeah. Of course, I like also can't skateboard at all.
Oh,
so,
yeah, I can't.
Yeah, you're talking to two
life.
Of the least coordinated people you've ever met in your entire life.
The only time I've ever.
But in my head, man, I was doing
ollies
shit.
And nollies.
I couldn't even do the tech decks. Like, even that was too much for me.
Oh,
like,
you can't even skateboard with your fingers.
With my fingers, I can't do it. One time I got on a skateboard and I just immediately fell off and farted when I hit the ground.
Now, that's funny.
Yeah, that's comedy. I would do the same thing. I would do that. But I would also do that with Grand Theft Auto.
That's
like, thank God I'm not. Yeah.
Just driving down the street and you say, wow, if I veered onto this sidewalk right now.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, introduces unhealthy thoughts and, maybe there's a good reason there's a rating system for video games.
But yeah, Tony Hawk 2, I was really into that game. It was,
get some Goldfinger playing on the,
the soundtrack, man. It was so good.
Superman.
Yeah.
You get some grinds.
Yeah.
Getting stoned with your bros. Okay. Eating some stolen French fries. Yeah, bro.
That's nostalgia right there.
Yes, that is way more
nostalgia. I snuck yes or no nostalgia in after the whistle here.
You know what else bugs me?
Are we just going through our list of things that bug us now? Let's hear it. What do you got?
People who wear sweatpants in public. Like, not like the, I know sweatpants are kind of making a comeback, and there's like fashionable ones that have like the dumb, really tight ankle things. That is a whole other level. I hate that. But people who wear like grimy, gross sweatpants in public, like, come on, put
what
a little
effort in.
What if
you're a garbage person and you don't want to put effort in, though?
Yeah, like a garbage collector?
No, like a garbage person. Like the general, like...
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, they generally wear like coveralls and high vis.
No, I'm not talking about sanitation workers. I have a lot of respect for those people. Okay. When I say garbage person, I'm talking about just like this general portion
of society.
You're
a garbage person, yeah.
You're
okay.
A garbage person. Yeah. You don't offer anything to the world, and you just suckle.
So you're defending people who wear sweatpants by saying, well, they're just garbage people, so it's natural that they would.
You wouldn't ask a scorpion not to sting. Like, it's outside of their nature. So you can't ask a garbage person not to wear grimy sweatpants in public.
It's hard to argue with that. Yeah, but, I guess don't be a garbage person. I guess that's my argument, is just don't be. And that's, again, I'm speaking in such generalizations here, and that's not a good look for me. But
you know what, Harris? Why don't you stop enjoying movies and pop culture and, smarmy glasses or whatever else you got going on that side of the table?
Smarmy glasses.
Those are pretty smarmy.
Yeah. All right.
So I should point out, when we were talking with Noah about different ideas for topics to bring in, we did land on The Simpsons.
Oh,
and that's great. But one of the things we thought about talking about was bullying Harris as a young man.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say technology. I was on board for whatever this is. Oh, yeah. Let's go. let's do this, guys.
So, Noah, now's your opportunity to let the public know what's
Harris.
Going on across
I mean,
the
state.
Okay. No. I'm going to tell a better one, which is, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? We're 5 or 6 years old, I believe, at the time. This is not really embarrassing
for
you.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so.
Why did I make a platform for you to be able to do
it? I don't know, but you did it. Okay, so we're at, we're about, I'm going to say 5, because we were in kindergarten together. That's how long I've known you from.
Yeah.
And we're at my house. And the back door out of my kitchen, it was like a sliding glass door with a screen door that led out onto the deck. And
which way did the door swing?
Well, it was a sliding door, as I just said, so it didn't swing. But
thank you, Noah. At least get one or two shots in here.
Buzzing. Put Carrie in his place there. So anyways, the glass door was open. The screen door was closed. And we decided, hey, Harris, let's go out onto the deck to play. And Harris was very excited about this, took a running start from down the hallway into the screen door. Like, completely, the door came out of its... socket? I should know this.
Mr. and Mrs. Jacobson must have been furious.
Just the door like completely coming loose and Harris landing face down on the deck on the door.
I also have no recollection of this. I'm sure I
remember it
why.
Vividly. That's one of my favorite Harris. So... No, it wasn't even bullying you. Just
no,
you bullied yourself on that one.
You know, typically that's how that story
yeah,
ends.
It's, you know what, I have a streak of a couple of years where I just made it easy. Like, it's not even bullied.
Couple 15 years.
Couple lifetime, pretty much, birth to present day, made it easy.
I'd like to think I've gotten a little bit more biting since then in my ability to... No, you're giving me eyes, so I'm not going
to... No, I mean, I want to hear what you got to say here.
No, I just, I think that I've learned from having this 15-year stretch of giving people ammo to just throw back at me, asshole, to just throw out, yeah, throw it around right back in my face after inviting them on my show, whatever. But that's fine. So, yeah, no, I think I'm
begging
now.
To come on the show more.
Okay. I don't know. It's a slow news week, so. I feel like I'm coming a long way.
We're proud of you. Bullying's not cool, but no. It is hilarious when it's against Harris.
I think it's all in good fun, and if you can't laugh at yourself, then you know what's the point. I learned that because there was a time where I get really worked up, and I think that's what bullies do. They aim to get a rise out of someone, and that's exactly like, and I would play into that because I would just get worked up, and that's exactly what they want and all that stuff. So now it's just like, yeah, you can't, if you can take something that someone's throwing at you and just be like, yeah. I'm owning it. Then you kind of take the deflate whatever they're trying to do, and they're trying to make you feel bad, and you're just like, yeah, okay.
So there you have it, the solution to bullying.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of take it easy, man.
Just don't let them get to you. Don't sweat the small stuff, and you know, just take away their ammo. Just own it, and then they have no chance of getting under your skin. We're in the last minute here. Noah, do you have any plugs? You got anything you want to plug? Are you playing any shows coming up?
I'm probably going to fill in with the Catfish coming up, and probably the Solutions as well in the next few weeks. Yeah,
Dirty Catfish is Todd
Catfish
Martin.
Brass
he was
band
on there a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Soul Night at the Cavern with the Solutions. Sure. You know, do one of those things. And I just wanted to mention the Lemon Tree episode.
Oh yeah.
Plug Tom. That. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah, the quote of the episode, I believe, being, it's as useless as that yellow lemon-shaped rock over there. Wait a minute, there's a lemon behind that rock.
Carrie, you got anything to plug?
No, I mean, just if you see Harris on the street, just bully him a little bit for me.
Or don't. I don't know.
Is that your plug? Is not bullying?
Yeah, that's my plug. Not bullying Harris.
All right. Well, I guess they cancel each other out, so business as usual, everybody.
All right. I'm Harris Gale.
I'm Carrie Volkowski. Love you.
Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.